Well, listen, on today we're going to start a series of sermons entitled God's Anointed Man. God's Anointed Man. For the remainder of our summer, we'll be in this series dealing with the life of David, God's Anointed Man. For the next weeks, you will hear a sermon from one of the episodes in David's life about how his anointing didn't just satisfy what he needed at the beginning of his ministry, but the same anointing held him, guided him, and protected him, kept him through the duration of his life, through the good moments and the not so good moments, through a season of disappointment, a season of disobedience, through a season of restoration. David's life serves as a mirror and a picture for us that at some time or another, we have all lived in a place of sin. Even after acknowledging God as our Savior, we have done some things that we know that were wrong in God's eyes. And so we see in David's life of how God has the ability and is willing to redeem us and never cast us out of the position that he has for our lives. God's anointed man, David. Today, we're going to start this series with the title of this, Living in Between. Living in Between. And the subtopic of our sermon today is Back to the Pasture. Back to the Pasture. Living in Between. And our subtopic is Back to the Pasture. So on last Sunday, which our sermon served as a prelude into this series, we met the current king of Israel. His name is Saul. And we also had a conversation regarding Samuel. Samuel is the prophet, the priest, the head priest in Israel at this particular time in the life of Saul's ministry. Saul served as king of Israel for about 40 years, and Samuel was the man of God that walked with him through the duration of his ministry as king of Israel. We have to deal with Saul. I want to make sure we remember this, and we'll deal with this back in the morning this week, recounting the fact that Saul was anointed king, yet God removed his presence from Saul's life. Saul went through a series of disobedient moments in his life. Saul had this anxiety issue. Saul wanted to be appreciated by man and also appreciated by God at the same time. And we all know as leaders, there are moments we have to make some decisions that everybody will not get down with. Everybody will not appreciate. Everybody will not understand. But that's the calling of being a leader. Sometimes you have to step out and do some things that will not make sense to those that are around you. Yet Saul lived a life wanting to please people and also wanting to please God at the same time. And a lot of times, you know, my friends, that just won't work. God has called us out to do a specific task, and everyone won't understand the task. Yeah, we must be willing to trust God for the duration of the journey. So jot down in your notes 1 Samuel chapter 13. In 1 Samuel 13, the text reads and says this, 1 Samuel 5, the Philistines assembled against Israel 3,000 chariots, 6,000 charioteers and soldiers as numerous as the sand on the seashore. They went up and camped at Michmash, east of Beth-Avon. When the Israelites saw that their situation was critical and that their enemy had pressed, they hid in caves and thickets among the rocks and pits and cisterns. Verse 7, some Hebrews even crossed the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. Saul remained in Gilgal, and all the troops with him were quaking and with fear. Verse 8 says, when he waited 7 days, the time set aside by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and Saul's men began to scatter. So the text, if you go on and read that in your notes later on in your Bible study time, you'll see that that Saul stepped in the place of Samuel and decided to yield the fast for the people because his soldiers were afraid. And verse 13, Samuel said to him, "You have done a foolish thing." Verse 14 says, "But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought after a man, after his own heart, and appointed him ruler of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command." Issue number two, 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 15 says, 45 says this, "But then the men said to Saul, 'Should Jonathan die? He who has brought about this great deliverance in Israel, never, as surely as the Lord lives, not a hair on his head will fall to the ground, for he did this today with God's help.' So the men rescued Jonathan, and he was not put to death." So we have in 1 Samuel 14 where the soldiers of Israel stood up against defying against the king, King Saul, not to kill his son. We put this on the table of your hearts last week that Saul and the people of Israel, he put forth this crazy fast for the soldiers and told the soldiers don't eat anything. And every general knows that your soldiers got to have some food in their stomach if they're going to fight real good, right? But the message did not get to Jonathan and his hand servant. Jonathan dipped his staff into a honeycomb and ate some honey. And Saul was so bit on trying to do it his way and not God's way that he even put out a bid to have his son killed. But the soldiers stood up and said no. Third action, 1 Samuel chapter 15, 24 through 28. Says, "But Samuel replied, 'Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice.'" The end of verse 23 says, "He was rejected as king." So we have Saul, the current king of Israel, kept finding himself doing it his way and not God's way. And for this cause, God removed his hand and his heart from Saul and his kingdom. And we find ourselves where we were on last week. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13 says this, "So Samuel took the horn of oil, and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David." Everybody, if you don't mind in your notes, please underline that, highlight that. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. I'll say it again. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. How are you going to handle living in your in-between? It's by allowing the Spirit of the Lord to come powerfully upon who you are. How are you going to handle chaos here and interruptions there and disappointment there? How are you going to stay sane in an insane world? By allowing the Spirit of the Lord to come powerfully upon you. So listen. I have three things happened in David's life. David is anointed king, everybody, three different times. He's anointed king three different times. So I'm going to give you this, and we'll pick this up in the course of the week when we talk on Mac in the morning. Y'all make sure you sign in for Mac in the morning. We have some good conversations this week. So the second time that David is anointed king, he's anointed king not by the man of God, but by soldiers. And then the third time he's anointed king. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 4, so you can have a scripture reference to that. The second time he was anointed king says, "Then the men of Judah came to Hebron, and there they anointed David king over the tribe of Judah." The men, the soldiers, came together and anointed David king. The third time, look in 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 5. It says, "When all the elders of Israel had come to David at Hebron, and the king made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king of Israel." So you have the men, the soldiers of Israel. Now you have the elders of Israel. They come and they anoint David king. Let me put this, make sure we're clear. Men will partner with what God speaks over you when you do what God said do first. So we're not looking for man to give us approval of what God said, but when you are doing it God's way, men will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So now we got to get back to the first anointing. You see, this first anointing is paramount because this first anointing was anointing for preparation. This first anointing was an anointing to prepare David on how to live in between the pasture and the palace. Oh, wow. See, some of us haven't learned this art yet because we want everything to happen not necessarily overnight, but over two nights. We don't want it to happen maybe not over a month, maybe over a month and a half. We want God to do it and do it quickly. I'll serve an immediate call. We want it to happen real quick, but there's something that we have to learn in the preparation season. There's something that you won't pick up when you already get to win the awards if you don't understand it in a season of in between. And there are some things that I want to, that the text lifts up to us that I believe David learned in this season of in between. This time period of from the pasture to the palace. If y'all walk in the real good, real quickly, I'm going to make sure we're clear on this, that it was a 7-year difference from the first anointing to the third anointing. But it was a 20-year difference from the pasture to the palace. Let me make sure we're clear about this. It didn't happen. David did not have an easy life. He had to journey through some things. Through disappointment, through being killed and sought after by the king, by his father-in-law. And y'all thought you had some in-law issues. But David had to go through this in-between season to get to where God wanted him to be. Because the text says, that in 1 Samuel 16, that after Samuel anointed David, David went back to the pasture. Now, you all, that's the issue for some of us. Here's the first thing that I believe that David learned in going back to the pasture. He learned to accept God's plan. Jot that down if you will. David learned to accept God's plan. David learned how to walk in the Spirit. David learned how to walk in the Spirit. Get this, everybody? In the pasture. See, a lot of us, we want to walk in the Spirit. On the way to the palace, all the folks we want them to see us in our triumphant entry into the palace. We want them to see us with our long robe on. We want them to see us with our jewelry on. See us with our people following behind us. We want them to see us kicking in the door, sitting on our seat. But how about people got to watch us in this season of preparation too? Because if you don't handle preparation right, you won't handle being in the palace right. If you don't handle this in-between season, you will never be able to appreciate what God does when he does finally open up the door and put you where he ultimately wants you to be. The text says the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Get this. Now, again, it's estimated David was between the ages of 10 and 15. So he learns at an early age how to endure with God. Can I stop parenthetically and challenge us? The reason why it's hard for old people to get it, because we've lived outside of God for so long that we've developed some habits. We've got some traits that we have now allowed them to be a part of our first nature. So the challenge is there for all of us that are parents, those of you that are grandparents, those of you that have influence on anybody to help these young children get it early so they don't have to work as hard when they get 25 and 30 to turn their lives to the Lord, because they have not only seen it in your life, but you have displayed it in front of them and helped them see God for themselves. I believe it helped David by getting it early that he heard from God's man. And he walked in power. See, we have to come to the place, my friends, we have to learn to accept God's plan. And see, this is the problem, the issue that arises for those of us, again, that are older, because we have had time to come up with our own plan. We've had time to kind of figure some things out for ourselves. Well, I think I like this, and I want that, and I like this better. This makes me feel good. This makes me feel like I belong. This makes me feel a part of the team. And so we live a life of preferential treatment. Well, I don't hang around people that don't like me. I'm not going to go in there because it's all about me, right? And that's the problem. It is supposed to be about us pursuing God in a life of obedience, not satisfying our flesh. So David learned how to walk powerfully in the Spirit. David has been anointed the next king of Israel, yet he does not go to the palace. He has to go to the pasture, because there are some things that he learns in the pasture that prepare him to be a king. If we had time, you all, we could deal with the fact that some of us will never get to where God ultimately wants us to be, because we keep missing these lessons. We'll never get there. You see, because the sheep should not have to endure you back, should not have to endure you and your backlash of you still not conquering the things of your past. I'll say it again. The sheep should not have to endure David not being focused. So by the time he gets to being a king, he should not be warring against the same thing things he went through while he was in the pasture. That's why God is not going to elevate some of us to some places, because we're still trying to get over things we should have been over by now. Because we're not learning in the in-between time. Get this, everybody. Transition. Transition is a part of our pasture reality. Transition is a part of our pastoral reality, and those unique times that we have to go through, we must be willing to toss off the old, even though we have not yet stepped into the new. We have to have a delicate balance in life, but we're willing to throw off the old stuff, although the new stuff we're not stepping into yet. And it's the power of the Lord that allows us to maintain in that in-between season. All right, we're going to move on. So we see now is that this first anointing was anointing of preparation. Everybody say back at me, preparation. Anointing of preparation. So David learns in this season of in-between that God is showing him something. God is revealing to himself things that he did not even know that he was able to do. All right. So this is what happens to you. And I'm done with this in the anointing that God has on your life. Because all of us, get this, everybody, all of us are in an in-between season. We never get out of this in-between season. Because once we get here, since God never stops talking, God continues to speak to our heart with his preceding word. There's always something else God is pushing us to do for his kingdom. So we're never out of this in-between season. So we have to learn how to rely on God as we're waiting on him to deliver. What are you learning in your in-between period? What are the lessons you're learning? What lessons you learn in the in-between season? Because waiting is not an excuse not to do anything. What are you learning in this in-between season? Because a lot of us say, well, I'm just sitting here waiting on the Lord. He told me, and I'm waiting on the Lord. No. According to the Hebrew text, waiting means to serve. So while we are calling ourselves sitting and waiting on God to do the next thing, we're supposed to be doing the last thing we know God told us to do. David could not go into the palace because he hadn't learned pasture lessons yet. So it's my prayer this morning, everybody, that we are allowing the Spirit of the Lord to lead us, so we can learn the pasture lessons. That's the first thing I think David received in this season in between. Picked up the idea to accept God's plan. The second thing I want to put on your mind that he learned this pasture season, he learned his strength. He learned his strength in this pasture season. In 1 Samuel 17, David has to convince Saul to allow him to go and defend the honor of God's name and fight the giant Goliath. He has to go, and he convinces the king that he could do it. Do you know why he could convince the king that they could do it? Again, in verse back in chapter 16, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. You understand that David lived in this power. And so he learned his strength in the pasture because he killed a bear and a lion. You see, had David not gone through the pasture to kill a bear and a lion, he would have been just as wimpy as all of Israel's army in front of this Goliath from the Philistine army. He learned his strength in the pasture. He learned the power and the authority of his voice in the pasture. In the in-between season of life, that's when his voice matured. That's when he understood the power that was resting upon him was not just on his head, but it was in his mouth. It was in his hands. He learned his strength in the pasture. Are y'all with me? He learned his strength in the pasture. See, as a shepherd had three essential functions. One thing a shepherd had to do, a shepherd had to guide the sheep. Everybody say, guide the sheep. As a shepherd was to guide the sheep, the shepherd had to lead sometimes in the back of the line. Sometimes the shepherd led from being in the middle. Sometimes the shepherd led from being in the side, on the side. But it was the shepherd's responsibility, especially western part of that day, was to guide, walk with the sheep. So, if you look in 2 Samuel chapter 24, in 2 Samuel 24, David has the opportunity to kill Saul in a cave. Saul was in the cave pooping, and so David and his soldiers were in the back of the cave. And they saw Saul in the cave pooping and gave them the opportunity to kill Saul. And the soldiers said, David, kill him. But David had to demonstrate, he had to guide, had to show these men, since he has shown the sheep, show these men that although God told me I'm going to be king, God didn't tell me to kill the king. Some of us get ahead of God. We see our enemies in a vulnerable state, and we go and we take advantage of them. That's not showing good leadership. That is not what David did. David showed these soldiers, just like David showed the sheep, he guided them. David also guides these soldiers to understand that doing it God's way is the only way to do it. All right. That's in 2 Samuel 24. So not only was a shepherd a guide, but a shepherd was a keeper. Shepherd was a keeper. So David learned in the pasture how to keep the sheep together. If he didn't get this in the pasture, get this, with sheep that could not respond to him, if he didn't learn how to move people without having to convince them with his words, there was a great chance he would not have been able to move his army that was traveling with him running from Saul. So the shepherd has to be a keeper of the sheep together. So if a shepherd is a keeper, the shepherd was also, in keeping the sheep together, had to deal with the sick and the wounded in order to keep the sheep together, you all. He had to deal with the sick and the wounded because sheep would sometimes injure themselves because they didn't walk with their heads up literally watching. They walked with their heads down eating. Sometimes they got caught in the thicket, in thorns. And they would fall because their bones are brittle. They would fall and break a bone. And so the shepherd would have to come and mend that broken bone, mend that sheep together. So do you know what they did? I'm glad you asked. The shepherd would pour oil on the sheep. There were some insects that were always getting to the sheep's ears. And the insect would go into the sheep's ears, and it would later on cause the sheep to die because it would infect the sheep from his ears. So what did shepherds do? I'm glad you asked. Shepherd would take oil that they would carry in the horn of a ram, pour it on the sheep's head, and that oil would run into all the places you could not see. All the dips in the sheep's head would pour into the ear of the sheep's head. So every time the insects were trying to get in, the oil was so thick, the insects could not stick into the sheep's ear, and the sheep would live because of the oil of the anointing that the shepherd poured on the sheep's head. Listen, y'all, David was a shepherd. So by the time later on in David's life that he writes Psalm 23, and he talks about the anointing of the Lord, David understood what the anointing of the Lord was for the sheep, because he understood what the anointing of the Lord was for his life. His life of preparation, his life of having to run from his father-in-law's sword. David understood how a shepherd was a keeper because God had been keeping him. So not only was a shepherd a guide, shepherd was a keeper, but shepherd also was a protector. So this is why David learned his strength in the pasture. So he could talk to Saul in 1 Samuel 17 and tell him that I'll stand up for Israel. And I'll kill this uncircumcised Philistine for defying our God. Because David understood that he learned how to protect in the pasture. He learned how to stand up, square his shoulders, and defend the honor of his name. See, y'all, get this. The power is not in the oil that they use for the anointing. The power's not in the oil that David poured over the sheep's head. The power's not in the oil that Samuel poured over David. You see, what gives the anointing power is the name that the anointing is in. See, a lot of us have had some oil poured on us to do a whole lot of stuff. And the majority of the stuff we had oil poured on us to do was not godly. Was not a God assignment. It was not biblical. And so we thought because the man or woman of God anointed us with oil, that's all we needed. But I don't care who puts their hands on you. I don't care which brand of oil they use. It can come from Israel, it can come from Egypt, it can come from Bastrop or Waxahachie. It does not matter the brand of the oil. If God has not assigned it for your life, the oil won't mean nothing. The only reason why the oil made sense in David's life is because God said he will be the next king of Israel because he's the man after my own heart. Not because Samuel poured the anointing, because there have been some preachers that have been guilty of pouring oil on the wrong people. All right. He learned how to be a guide, a keeper, and a protector in the pasture. So I want to challenge us to don't get ourselves excited to get out of the pasture too quick. Because if you don't learn it in the pasture, you're gonna hurt some people along the way when you learn it, the same old lesson, trying to learn it in the palace. So here we have David. Two things that I believe David learned in his in-between season. If you walk with me, you ought to have this written down. The first thing he learned to accept God's plan. Second thing he learned his strength. There's one final thing we want to raise up this morning. That I believe God, that David learned in his in-between time, in his season, back in the pasture. David learned, here it is, to worship God. David learned how to worship in the pasture. Everybody, don't forget the end part of verse 13 of chapter 16 where it says that the Spirit of the Lord was upon David powerfully. I don't want us to compartmentalize this power that rested upon David is done. It's the power of God that rested upon David. So it's the same picture of our salvation, that we don't walk in and out of it. David could not walk in and out of this power. Just like our salvation, we have a choice to make in what we do with it. Just like David, he had a choice to make what he was going to do with that power. So many episodes that you hear about for the next few weeks dealing with David, that David misused his power. David misused his power and took advantage over people, over relationships. So we have to mature, my brothers and sisters, as we're in our pasture, that we make the personal constitution that we're not going to misuse the influence and the power that God has given us. Because there is a purpose in God's power in our lives. In 1 Samuel 16, verse 14 says, wearing a royal ephod, 2 Samuel, I'm sorry, wearing a royal ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might. So in David's life, in chapter 16, there is a demonic spirit, a foul spirit, that rests upon Saul. So one of Saul's servants says, why don't you get someone to play some sweet music? So the servant said, listen, Jesse's baby boy is real good on the harp. And if you get Jesse's permission and get Jesse's baby boy, when he comes and plays his harp, that foul spirit will subside. Do y'all get the flow of the story? That David is still a young man out in the field, yet he's called into the king's court by the king. Apparently, and it makes good common sense to learning how to play his harp. So when the moment happens, his moment of elevation, he was prepared. Could it be that some of us are still missing our season of preparation where we ought to be learning musicians how to play in every key? We're missing our season of preparation, leaders, where we ought to be learning and riding the new traits of leadership God is showing us, so that when God decides to pick us up out of the pasture and put us in the palace, we're more ready now than we were 20 years, 7 years before. We'll miss opportunities questioning God. How long do I have to deal with these crazy sheep? How long? I need somebody to talk back to me. How long do I have? That could have been what Dave was saying, because the sheep didn't talk back, right? I need somebody to respond to me. But that's something he had to learn in the pasture. So God picks David from the pasture and puts David in the palace. See, some of us want to go from the pit, from the pasture to the palace on the throne. I'll say it again. Some of us want to go from the pasture to the palace, but on the throne in the palace. David went from the pasture to the palace, but at the bottom of the throne, because Saul was still sitting there. Although he had been anointed by Samuel to sit in the throne, he found contentment with God because it wasn't his time to sit down yet. It was a season for David to continue to learn how to minister to God by ministering to those that didn't like him. He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. David had to learn this in the pastor. David learned how to worship God, so much so that in 2 Samuel, that when David finally got it right and he transferred the Ark of the Covenant the proper way to the city of Bethlehem, the text says that he was coming to the city of Jerusalem and he was so excited that he was dancing before the Lord. David learned how to celebrate these good moments in the pasture. He was dancing before the Lord, and his wife, his beautiful wife, the woman that God gave him to marry, said, "You look like a fool." We're not going to talk about foolish couples today and all this coupling we're doing. But David said to his wife, because she was telling him, "You look like a fool in front of all the servants in the city, the maidens in the land." He says this in verse 22, "I will become even more undignified than this. I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor." My friends, on today, I want us to be aware that God is trusting us to endure our in-between seasons. God wants us to recognize his plan as we're in the season. God wants us to recognize his strength that he gives to us in our in-between seasons. God wants us to recognize that our response to him, no matter what the season looks like, is a response of worship to him for who he is in our lives. And I believe this is what David learned in this season of being in between. Since David had been anointed to be king, it did not matter what anybody else said against him because God had already spoken over him. So David was not looking for the accolades and the celebration of people because David had already heard from God. So I want to challenge you today to not look for the accolades, not look for the celebration of people in your life, but just know that what God has already said that is done, and that your promotion does not depend on anything what anybody else does. Your promotion is hinging on you walking and being prepared to go from the pasture to where? The palace. It's all in how you're looking at the situation. Because we see the glass as half full, not half empty, we know that God's plan is still active, right? We know that God is still working this thing out. So no matter what happens to us along the way, because we believe that all things still work together for the good of those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose, it doesn't matter what it looks like on the outside. God is working something out for his kingdom's benefit, for his kingdom's glory. So I want to challenge you today to despise not these humble beginnings. Despise not this season that you're in between. Despise not this season of being in the pasture. Because at God's appointed time, when his time is right, he will elevate you and put you where he ultimately wants you to be. So I have to ask the question, is there anyone here this morning that you are literally going to make up in your mind that you're willing to trust God while in your pasture season? For it's in this pasture season that God reveals to us the attributes of what he wants us to maintain and hold on to when we finally make it to the palace. Well, I'm done, everybody, but I want you to understand that the reason why that David was able to maintain in this season is because of this first anointing that he received from Samuel. It wasn't because his daddy spoke it into him because the daddy didn't see it in him. It wasn't because his brothers had charged him to be a good man because his brothers didn't see it in him. It was because God had placed his spirit upon David. Text says once again in 1 Samuel 13, the B part of it, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. And just like the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David, when you gave your life to God, you were given the anointing of God. You were given the power of God to maintain your life, to live a life of discipline, because you learn that you now have the power of the Holy Ghost. And that same power in God, that same power that enthused the body and the mind of David, that same power that's in our lives is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And so we now have the same power living within us. So we don't have to give in while we're in the pasture. We can learn how to trust God and maintain in this in-between season. Because if we faint not, we will receive the reward that God has for all of us. And so I want to challenge us today that live in this anointing. Do not allow anybody to talk you out of what God has placed you in. You rest yourself, you rest your life in the hands of God. And just know that all things still work together for the good of those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So I want to challenge you today that no matter what happens this afternoon or tomorrow, to walk in your anointing. No matter what anybody says against you, if they don't like it, it's all right. You have the power of the Lord, and I challenge you to walk in your anointing. Samuel put his hands on David, and David got himself together and went right back on to the pasture. So I know that you've heard God say this and say that over your life, but until God opens the door, don't you try to kick it in. You get on back to the pasture and learn the lessons of the pasture. And then what we will be able to say is, I have not seen, neither has it heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men what God has in store for you. So while you are in this in-between season, I challenge you just to praise God until you get to the other side. While you're in this in-between season, the season of being in the pasture, I challenge you to praise God and raise your voice, raise your hands, raise your attitude in celebration to God. Because at the right time, God will place you where he ultimately wants to place you. Receive the anointing of God. Receive the blessings of the Lord. Receive the hands of God upon your life and just walk out in that power. Don't try to do it all by yourself. But I've learned to trust in Jesus, and I've learned to lean on his word, because he has never let me down. He has never led me astray. And is there anybody here this morning, you've learned to trust God and trust him all the way? Though I've had to go through dangers, seen and unseen, I've learned to trust in Jesus, and I've learned to stick by his word, and I'm going to walk in God's anointing of my life. I may not have the hands and the pats on the back of everybody around me, but I have the anointing of the Lord. I may not have the support of everybody else around me, but I have the anointing of the Lord. I may not have the finances and resources of everybody else, but one thing that I know that I have the anointing of the Lord. And God's anointing has prepared me for such a time as this. And that same anointing that's over my life, if you've given your life to Jesus, that same anointing has prepared you for whatever you're going through in your pasture season. If you faint not, God is going to raise you to wherever he wants you to be. But are you learning the lessons in the pasture so that you can be in place in the palace? Don't try to trick anybody. Don't try to knock anybody out of the way. Endure this in-between season, because God has something in store for you. Don't give up. When we see these biblical characters, we think that they are a cartoon character, someone made up. But David was a real man, and he had to endure the hardships of being in between pasture and the palace. He had to trust the power of the Lord in him. The anointing that God allowed Samuel to lay a place on his life meant nothing without the power of God in his life. So he had to trust God. Are you willing to trust God today? Are you willing not to lean to your own lack of understanding, because you don't get all of it? But will you trust him today with every piece of it? Allow the anointing of the Lord to pour on you, and you make the decision to rest in it. Father, we thank you on today. We thank you now for your anointing. Yes, we know the anointing is here to destroy yokes. But if I learn to trust you, I don't need the anointing to keep destroying stuff that I've already tossed to the side. So, Father, we thank you today for your anointing. We thank you today that in the midst of us not knowing exactly what you're doing, we've made the choice to trust you. We've made the choice to believe your word over our circumstance. We choose you. For you have shown yourself to be our good shepherd. So, Father, as your sons and daughters, we've gathered this morning to say unto you that we are believing in you. We are trusting you for the anointing that you've laid on our lives to protect us, to guide us, to keep us, We're not going to lean to our own feelings about life anymore. For you are with us. As just as David could write this as a former shepherd, that he was out there by himself with sheep, nobody else to talk to but you. And we may feel like we're in that same space today where we're out here in our pasture and there's no one else to talk to respond to us. But we're reminded that you are with us. Your rod and your staff comforts us. So, Father, we thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your power. We thank you for your love. And we choose to wait on you. It may be a 7-year period. It may be a 20-year period. However the duration of this period is, Father, we choose you. So as you're sitting there listening to this prayer, watching this prayer, have you made the choice to choose God's way today? All of us will have to endure this in-between season. This is what happens when you choose God. You now have a strength that lives inside of you. But when you keep choosing your own path, you're dealing with this, with life all by yourself. And you don't have the wherewithal. You don't have the shoulders to support all your thoughts in this season by yourself. You need Jesus. So I'm pushing you. I'm charging you to give God a try today. Life is not going to be better without you in it. So stop thinking about taking yourself out of it. That's not going to change anything. Put those pills down. Put anything that you're trying to put in your system down that would warp who you really are. And talk to your creator today. Talk to God. So, Lord, we thank you for making yourself known to us. Thank you for the clarity of your voice as we read your scriptures today. And we're going to do our part. We choose you. Not our own understanding, but we choose you. So, Father, you're speaking to someone's heart even now. They've never asked you to be their Savior, and they're wondering, how can this even happen? I'm not at church, so I can't get saved because I'm not in a building. Father, comfort them even now. They're right there wherever they're sitting. They could be on a plane, be at home, wherever. They could even watch this service 3 hours from now, and your presence will still be alive right there with them. So, Lord, don't let them think themselves out of this moment. It's called faith. Because you can think and talk yourself out of doing everything that you should be doing. But faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I don't see it, but I choose to believe God. And Lord, there are some of my brothers and sisters, we have accepted you as our Savior, but we're not living an active life of faith. We're teetering and tottering. One weekend we're over here, and next weekend we're over here, and no one really knows who we are because we have multiple faces for multiple groups of people. Father, I pray for my brother and my sister that today we will own you as our Lord legitimately. And we will rest in who you have formed us to be in this new creatureness. The day is over for us going from side to side, hanging on the fence. We choose you. Not just to get what you have, God, but we want to do it your way. So now in the sweetness of the room where you are, if you have questions, would you open your eyes and go on the search engine and just whatever platform you're on, send us a message. I'll respond to you today. Send us an email, info@discoverwarrenchurch.org. If you have a prayer need, you can go to the chat room right where you're on, whatever platform you're on, and we'll respond to you today. will respond. If you happen to be watching this 7 hours from now, make sure you go to Info at Discover One Church. Don't lean on just being on their platform, because we may not go to that page again. But go to the website, Info at Discover One Church. Challenge us to contact you. And you may never ever come to Midlothian, Texas. I don't really care about that. You may never ever come to One Church. I'm not really concerned about that. We're concerned about the kingdom of God. Because who will be here is supposed to be here. Where God wants you to be is right with His, in His kingdom. So, Father, we thank you for meeting our needs even now. Thank you for answering the cry and the prayers of your children even now. And it is to you that we give the glory. It is to you that we give the thanks. Thank you for your anointing that protects us from the insects of life that want to come into our ears and speak all this babble and lead us into the down these roads of destruction. But your anointing has covered us. Your anointing protects us. Your anointing guides us. Father, we're never the same, and we will never be the same again. Father, thank you for our time today in worship. Will you bless us and keep us? Will you allow your face to shine upon us and be gracious to us? Will you lift your countenance upon us and give us your peace? In Jesus' name, we thank you.